Well, mobile means we have to be anywhere, anytime, any device, and that's what we're actually looking at. Is how are you going to make our warfighter, the front lines, are out there with the information, but secure? And that's the problem that we're having. Many of the mobile devices, as we were talking, I have a BlackBerry and two iPhones on my hips. But do we know that the operating systems are secure? So we have our medical people forward. They're going to be triaging patients on the field. We have our other security professionals that are supporting them with the network. We have people on subs. We have people on ships. So it's an idea that we need to look at the entire mobility. And what do they need? What device? Is it an on-demand device? They just need to pull data in? Or do they need to have an application that can actually take data, manipulate it, and then upload it to the cloud?
Now, for many years in the military, they've used ruggedized or mil-spec Tempest, you know, PCs, things you can drop and step on. What's the matter with those? Why do we need these delicate devices you buy in consumer stores?
And those are still necessary. We still have the ruggedized pieces that will have to be secured and will have to actually be up to date and be able to be locked down, get wet, get dry. But the issue is if you're paying $5,000 for that ruggedized device and you can buy five iPads for the same price, then the issue is going to be if that one device gets destroyed, we're out $5,000. But if we can do these commercial mobile devices, which Mr. Kai is we're actually working towards, it's actually a better deal in the long run.
So just as an aside, any chance we'll ever see like a plexiglass iPad instead of glass?
Oh, sure. There's definitely some new things that I saw from Nokia and some of the other areas of Samsung. They're doing these new devices that can actually be dropped. They have embedded technology within them. And then if we can ruggedize it, we can put a case around it. So anything that we have iPads on aircraft. You'll see Mr. Kerry speaking later today. We have iPads on helicopters. So we have them everywhere. The issue is going to be is what if we contaminate it with blood? How do we clean it? How do we secure it? What if we contaminate it? What if it gets shot? Then am I in the dark? I don't have my maps anymore. So maybe having that 40 pounds worth of maps was a godsend because I just dropped my iPad, the screen is fractured, and I can't see a thing.
Okay, so there's definitely some unique issues to DOD. What are some other issues unique to DOD when it comes to mobility and security of mobility?
So if you look at the commercial mobile device and we're using the commercial mobile network, see what happened on Earthquake Day. I was downtown D.C. on Earthquake Day, and say we use commercial mobile devices. What if we lose our connectivity? What if Verizon's unable to meet our needs? So the military can't be blind, deaf, and dumb. We have to have that connectivity, the resiliency. So the big issue I see with the commercial mobile devices is that we're relying on those commercial networks. Commercial network goes down, we're blind. And it's also something that's being reiterated in the law enforcement community. If their networks go down and we're reducing our law enforcement people on the street, they're also going to have the problem. Because many times you're now seeing military brought in with the Katrinas and with these other emergencies that we have to be able to work. Well, if there's no cell signal, there's no cell signal.
We're speaking with Robert Young. He's a cyber and mobility expert in the Office of the Defense Secretary. So is it possible with any of the commercial devices out now to marry them up with satellite service?
Absolutely, and that's what we're looking for, unique devices. So we don't want it to only do one thing. We have encryption requirements. We have identity. How do I prove that you're actually who you say you are out in the field or wherever? And we have issues with training and educating people. We don't know what that chip does because it was made somewhere else. We have to look at it. So, yes, you would have a combination of maybe a satellite device. Maybe you'd have another device that uses GSM, CDMA, and no other technologies that we have out there.
Now, I imagine when you talk to the vendors and say, can you put a satellite antenna in this thing instead of Verizon or Sprint or whatever, or in addition to that, they must see that as a big commercial application too, something that could migrate because there are people that hunt and travel and so forth in areas where they also want satellite connectivity.
Absolutely, and that's something that we're looking at is what does the industry want, what is the industry doing, and then what is the normal user doing? That's where we're finding many of the applications these sergeants are making apps that they need for their daily job. So we find it really exciting that, no, we want to work with industry. The defense industrial base has to work with us, and we're not going to get the solution. There's not going to be a DOD cell phone per se.
Now let's talk about the software for a moment, the applications. Nowadays when people say app, they mean something that is connected directly and wired, hardwired, so to speak, to the APIs of a particular operating system. So you can't take an iPhone app and use it on an Android, for example, vice versa. That's the opposite of where everything has been going with web applications. What are the implications of the app phenomenon for the military in that sense?
And we're looking at this through pilots, actually. There are hundreds of pilots going on right now for the DOD, with Army, Navy, Coast Guard, all that. So we're actually looking at would you use an HTML5 versus an app that's specific to an iPhone or to an Android? And that's the issue that we're looking at is what do we need? What is your mission? What enclave? Is this going to be the entire Department of Defense? Only the Navy's going to use this. Maybe the Air Force will like it. So we're actually looking at different ways to go about looking at the application. But something that you find, if you like Angry Birds and you never used it before, maybe you'll like it and start playing with it. It's all this word of mouth and what works best for you.
And you can also do web applications on mobile devices, too. It doesn't have to be an app in the App Store sense, right?
And like a thin client-type connection, you would actually go through a secure portal and actually, like the on-demand that you have at your home system, you'd actually bring that movie into your home. Same thing. I would grab the data that I need from the gig, the global information grid, drag it down to my phone. Then if that connection's lost, then I wouldn't have a compromised device, possibly. If I left it, there wouldn't be secure information on it. So it's that on-demand pull. But that might not work, again, if I don't have the cloud and I don't have a connection.
Now, in the early days of PCs, there were competing operating systems to DOS, but eventually the world pretty much made the standard Windows. Do you see that happening in the mobile world sometime down the line?
Well, if we have all the same devices, the problem would be the application being taken down. So I think you're still going to have a mix of Android and Dell systems and Windows systems and iOS systems. So the issue is going to be is if I have all Apples and one vulnerability or one exploit takes them down, then we're all dead in the water. So we're going to go ahead and have this heterogeneous connection, all these different devices, and we want to be device agnostic so anyone can connect.
Now, you talk to the vendors, and of course, there's a tie-in between the vendors and the hardware and the carriers, so it's kind of a locked-in triangle. Is there interest on the part of the device manufacturers, the OS manufacturers, to do the security levels required by military?
Right, and it's called a STIG in the government. So we actually are working with BlackBerry, and there is one of the devices that we are actually approved on. I can encrypt that device with my common access card and encrypt my traffic and sign it. So those are all requirements for Mystic Eye's memo, the 6th April memo that talks about what we have to have, and we are working with industry. So we've had people coming from Google, people coming from Apple to work with us. But the issue is we're not that huge customer that they all are looking for. We are like 0.02% of some of their sales. But again, they are working with us. And Mystic Eye has said, we will not say no innovation. We're going to start these new things and work through them.